Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 6th chapter of Luke, starting in the 20th verse, and I think these words may be familiar to us. Let us listen for God's word for us this morning. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our scripture this morning comes from the book, New Testament book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?' I said to him, 'Sir, you are the one that knows.' Then he said to me, 'These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship God day and night within the temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word and give us grace to understand and choose the way of wisdom. For we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you and revile you and defame you. And I would add, blessed are you whose teams lost yesterday. And blessed are you who can't wait for the bickering around Tuesday's midterms to end. Blessed are you whose retirement accounts have run out of gas, and blessed are you who never had a retirement account to begin with. Blessed are you whose lives have been interrupted by a diagnosis, and blessed are you whose partner said, "I've fallen in love with someone else." And blessed are you whose favorite people are no longer sitting in that chair across the breakfast table. Blessed are you. Blessed are you, for that is exactly what life did to our ancestors. These words from Luke that Loudon read a moment ago come from around the year 85 AD, which means they were likely written during the reign of the Roman Emperor Domitian. Dig back into your high school or college world history class. You may remember that the Roman emperors of the first centuries were brutal and violent persecutors of the early Christian church. Domitian may have been the worst of those, a cruel and ruthless autocrat, and, as later scholars have suggested, probably a paranoid psychopath. One writer says that one of Domitian's favorite pastimes was to stab flies with a sharp pen before plucking their wings out one by one. That cruelty extended to his human enemies. So Luke knows what he's talking about when he says, "Blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you and revile you and defame you." I'll say it again for those in the back. It was not easy to be a Christian in the first century Roman Empire. Still, blessed are you, Jesus says. He is suffering under no illusion that this is Rebecca's Sunnybrook Farm where everything is swell and good and getting better every minute. Life is hard. Still, blessed are you. And I have to believe that's how John has the audacity to write these words in Revelation 7. A follower of Christ, preacher of the gospel, John was exiled by the Roman government to the island of Patmos, off the coast of Turkey in the Aegean Sea. The closest spot you might be familiar with is the Greek island of Mykonos. I've been there, and I can tell you that even Mykonos is a challenge to reach. Patmos is another 60 miles across the sea, but if you want to get there these days, it will take you 16 hours of ferries, Ubers, and rental cars. In other words, if you were the Roman government and wanted to send someone to the most remote place you could imagine, first century Patmos was the perfect spot. And that's where John pens these words, probably around the year 95 AD. Now, to be fair, he employs a bit of poetic license. At the time John wrote this letter, the Christian church was nothing close to a great multitude that no one could count. Instead, the first century church was a tiny, inconsequential group of believers who lived every single day on the edge of extinction. If the emperor woke up in a bad mood, chances were better than even that Christians would bear the brunt of that. The great multitude that no one could count was a hopeful idea, but it was a long way from reality. But the very fact that we are here today ought to be a clue that despite struggle and persecution, the early church never gave up, even when giving up would clearly have been the sensible thing to do. They held on. They kept going, even in the face of seemingly insurmountable obstacles. So what John is writing is a word of hope. A word not just for first century persecuted Christians, but a word of hope for us today, those of us who would just as soon bury our heads in the sand and call it quits. In his holy imagination, John sees a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. The New Testament calls those people saints. In God's holy flirtation with the world, Frederick Buechner writes, God occasionally drops a handkerchief. Those handkerchiefs are called saints. And the history of the church is littered with God's handkerchiefs, saints dropped right down in the midst of us. Ordinary people who live and breathe and struggle and work and laugh and cry and succeed and fail, but who never lose sight of God's promise. The history of this church is sprinkled with saints. Most recently, we remember Paul and Jane and Mel and Caroline. They walked us to the edge of the river, But trust me, none of them ever intended for us to just stay put. Like all our forebears, they got us to this point, but they always want us to keep moving forward. They are God's handkerchiefs. All those saints, all those loved ones who have shown us the way. I have one of those literal handkerchiefs. It lives here in the pocket of my robe, and I fiddle with it every Sunday. Some of you remember Eleanor DeYoung, who a member of this congregation who died 8 years ago. Eleanor was amazing, strong, determined, kind, positive, curious, and funny. Several years before her death, her doctor asked if she had a living will. "Yes," she said, "but I don't want to invoke it yet." But Eleanor was also a lady through and through, and a lady always has a handkerchief with her. So at the graveside service after she died, her daughters and daughter-in-law pressed and laundered all of the embroidered handkerchiefs of their mother so that each of us could take one as a reminder. I keep mine here in the pocket of my robe, and every Sunday I think of Eleanor when I stick my hand in that pocket. Now, as you saw, mine is wrinkled now and could stand to be laundered and pressed again, kind of like most of us. In God's holy flirtation with the world, God occasionally drops a handkerchief. These handkerchiefs are called saints. And I wonder, when you reach into your pocket or into your memories, who do you remember as one of the saints of God's kingdom? And then the next question I hope you'll ask is maybe more important. Who will remember you? Because in God's hopeful imagination, we are saints too, just as surely as they are. Created in God's image, redeemed by God's love, sustained by God's Spirit. Saints, every last one of us. Amen.